broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Because I think, really, that people are not even listening to this message.
I've never seen it before.
Book 'em.
I just run this place a week ago.
Book 'em.
And in fairness, Larry Summers did a heck of a job trying to figure out.
For me, Mary, it's going to entail a discussion with my family.
She's going to hell this bitch.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, right? We're a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, where we go places no other talk show would dare go, no other talk show would dare try. Forget it, man. You know, game over. 877-876-PHIL. Anti-gay school board member Clint McCants is resigning for posting vicious comments on his Facebook page. A new survey reveals just how much we hate people who use cell phones in restaurants. And a man is busted for waterboarding his girlfriend.
Got it. Three great stories right there.
Yeah, I bet you'd like to try the last one, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Gotta admit about that.
Okay, bud. Hey.
Wide awake tonight, man.
I'm awake every night.
Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard with me here in our news hour. 877-876-PHIL. Three pretty good stories. Well, you're right about that, bud. Starting off, this anti-gay school board official, this Clint McCants. Oh, our website, philhendryshow.com. Go over, get a backstage pass, and start spending your subscription money wisely. You subscribe to magazines. You subscribe to newspapers. If you're going to subscribe to a website, make it ours, because you have hours, if not 3,000-plus hours of archived great radio on the Phil Hendry Show website, as well as animated clips, as well as video, as well as on-demand video, as well as a news feed, an email, and so much more. PhilHendryShow.com. And starting next week, we open up our merchandise store. First thing we're going to do is sell our legacy CDs, our best-of CDs from 1997 on. And
what about them 1999, man?
1999, that's a very interesting year. The best of the Phil Hendry Show 1999, brother, I don't even know how many we have, if we have any, because I think people were snapping them up as the millennium was ending. Anyway, we'll let you know when the store opens. 877-876-PHIL. Anti-gay school board official Clint McCants resigns amidst controversial Facebook posts. And we did the story yesterday and pretty much gave you the lowdown. This is some moron who said that in Facebook posts that, you know, fags and queers and all this other stuff give each other AIDS and die, and he enjoys that. He said in a Facebook post that he would disown his kids if they were gay. They would not be welcome in his home. He said that on this day called Spirit Day, which was the other day, Spirit Day was a day of support for people across the world, across the country, who were being bullied or otherwise having a difficult time in life because they were lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. He's talking about teens mostly. And Mr. McCants, who's a school board member, authored some posts that were quite of the opposite view. Responding to the Spirit Day call for supporters to wear purple, for instance, he wrote, "Seriously, they want me to wear purple because five queers killed themselves. The only way I'm wearing it for them is if they all commit suicide." This guy's on a school board. On Thursday, he disowned the comments as, well, I couldn't say, I wouldn't predict that he was going to do it because I don't know what kind of dumbass this guy was. But he obviously was drunk or doesn't understand the reach of Facebook or didn't understand that students and parents would read it or was really pissed off and didn't care. And now he's thinking again about it. But he did say that he was disowning the comments. And I think we have some clips from this guy. McCants is his name. Clint McCants. Here he is telling CNN's Anderson Cooper that he is resigning.
I have never really been too active in terms of being any kind of activist, but seeing these postings about all these suicides of these gay teens really kind of struck a chord with me. And then to see a school board official, someone in my hometown, basically...
Wait a minute. I apologize. This is McCain. This is this dumbass McCants.
I am going to resign from the school board. It is to help my community, to help my school. I don't want them to receive bad press or have a distraction because of some ignorant comments that I made. If they decide later, you know, year, 5 years, 10 years from now to vote me back in, if my constituents want that, then I'll run again.
He says he's sorry for his comments.
I used some really strong language that, you know, and it wasn't correct, and it was too emotional. I don't, you know, I've got two children myself, and I love them dearly. I've got a wife I love dearly. I don't agree with bullying in any shape, form, or fashion. I don't agree with it for any children. And, you know, the words I used were unfortunate, and they're, you know, I should have picked different ones, but it can't be taken back. And all I can do now is extend my apologies for my poor speech.
Well, he's a stupid man, and he's a bigot, and so he's done. And the reason why he's apologizing was in the very first comment there. He apologized, and he said, and if they want to, you know, somewhere down the road. Now, we said this in our pre-show, our 9 to 10 show, our uncensored video cast hour. We said the reason why he apologized as he was stepping down was because he was told that that's what he was going to do.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. Why did you say that?
The reason why I said it is it was the clue was there in the first comment when he said, and if somewhere down the road...
Yeah, if you want to run again.
If he wants to run again. I hope that the people... Well, for him to run again, he's going to need the support of certain people. He's going to need the support possibly of the people that helped him get into office the first time. He's going to need the support of a certain segment of the political machine such as it is in Midland, Arkansas. And someone told him... Well, if you think you're going to be in politics again in any way, shape, or form, school board, what have you, you're going to go and you're going to do this. You're going to apologize. See? Now, you don't have to, but that's what you're going to do. And he, well, do you, yeah, that's what's going to happen if you want our support. If you don't, I don't give a damn if you walk out and get hit by a bus right now. It doesn't make any difference to us. If you want our support, we may be able to bring you back. We may be able to rehabilitate you. If that's what you want to do. Do you want to do that? Well, I'd really like to run again for, oh, okay, well, 5 years, 10 years, okay. What you're going to do is you're going to apologize, then you're going to keep your mouth shut, go back to whatever it was you were doing, your TV repair business or selling shoes or whatever you do. And when the time comes and we feel it's right for you and we can make it right, we can make it, we can sell it, we can say this is a and this was the old guy, here's the new guy, and here he is being photographed with gay teens, and over here he's being photographed with underprivileged whatever, and here's another, again, here's something else, and man, we'll make you look, we can clean it up. I don't know if we can get you run for president of the United States, but we could probably get you back on a school board, but it's going to take work. And the first thing you're going to do is you're going to go out there and apologize, and you're going to quit. Well, hell, I don't think what do you mean, hell, you don't think? That's exactly what you're going to do.
Yeah, but that guy didn't sound like the kind of guy who wants to be told what to do.
Well, guess what? That's what happened. He may not like it, but that's what he's doing. He's sitting there keeping his mouth shut, and they're telling him. And I hope somewhere down the road I'm going to... Yeah, somewhere down the road? Somewhere down the road, man, ain't never going to get here unless you do thus and so. Believe me when I tell you, man.
So what do you think they're going to do, man, like... 5 years, put this guy up there again?
Well, I don't know why anybody would elect this guy to do anything other than maybe, take the boards out at night and scrub the grease off of them if he worked in a kitchen. That's what I give him the job to do. I don't know what he knows how to do. He doesn't sound like he's very bright. He's obviously a bigot. He didn't take any of that back. He doesn't like gay people, which means he doesn't like gay teens. I don't give a damn if he said he doesn't want them to kill themselves or not. It's got nothing to do with it. He's an idiot. Now, maybe somewhere down the road they can use him. I don't know. Maybe his old man's got influence. Maybe he's got money. Maybe his wife's got some juice. I don't know. There's some reason why they put this dumbass on that school board. It sure as hell isn't because the guy's smart.
Yeah, it might be I don't know. Maybe, yeah, I think he might be related to somebody.
He's probably related to somebody. He's probably got a judge or something in his family. I don't know. So he's all pissed off and bummed out, and he says, hell, Johnny, I don't know what the hell's going on, man. All I said, I mean, it's in the privacy. You stupid ass. You said it on Facebook. What are you, a brain-dead idiot? I put my name out there. God knows what kind of conversations he's had with people. People are probably saying, you know that I went to bat for you, man? I put my name next to yours. Yeah, well, I guess that's tough. You keep talking like that, man, they won't find you. What you doing? You threatening me? Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm threatening you. You keep go ahead. You make this into some kind of a big joke, Jack. Tomorrow, man, they won't know what happened to you. And they'll be looking for a search. They'll have a search party looking for your genitals over here. And your head will be on a beach over in the East Coast. And, oh, man, Jimmy Hoffa, if they think it was tough finding him. You go ahead and make some jokes about it there, hick. Now, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go. You're going to quit. You're going to go back. You're going to keep your mouth shut. 5 years. Remember that movie we were watching, Bud, Goodfellas?
Yeah, I love that story. He's like, it's going to be beautiful. You go down to Florida with Jimmy.
Right. You go down to Florida with Jimmy, and you come back, and then maybe we'll see what we can do. Otherwise, you keep running that fat mouth of yours, you're done. And that's the way politics is, folks. It's not much different from... And I didn't learn that in a movie. You know who I learned that from? I learned that from my father, because my dad used to talk about business all the time. And my dad never pulled any punches when it came to business. He was always talking about what a rough and tumble world it was, and where it was, and how you had to draw the line, and how you had to sometimes take your lumps, and how you had to stand there and listen to somebody berate you. Or when the shoe was on the other foot, how you could stand there and exact promises from someone. I mean, this business, the one thing that America taught the whole world, business. Politics? No. And this is not the mafia. We're not talking about La Cosa Nostra, some Hollywood bullcrap. This is what goes on every day in the American world of business. And it's been going on since the beginning of time, and since the beginning of the country, and maybe we can put it on Alexander Hamilton because he was hanging around with all those what they called stock jobbers. I don't know what the hell it was, but that's the way it is, and it infiltrated every other aspect of our lives. Politics, everything. You want something? Yeah. Well, here's what is going to happen if you want it. Well, I don't know. Well, then you aren't going to get it. And all of the big talk and all the hot air and all of the blah, 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 blah and threats doesn't mean anything unless you got leverage. If you got some leverage, which means you got something the other guy wants, then you got what's called leverage. If you don't, you got to shut up and take it. This is what dumbass here's got to do. All right, 877-876-PHIL. What are you doing with a ruler?
Look at the leverage.
That's not leverage. That's a slide rule. Give me that. 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And coming up, we'll tell you why a man waterboarded his girlfriend. Well, do we need to explain? I'm kidding. We'll tell you why a man waterboarded his girlfriend, plus a new survey reveals just how much we hate people using cell phones during a meal. How much? We'll tell you. PhilHendryShow.com.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Check out our website next week. We're going to start a series of video rants. If you go to our website right now, uncensored, our uncensored pre-show rants are on there. We've got, and I mean, we just blister people. During our uncensored pre-show, we blister people. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. I mean, we eviscerate the issue of the day. Anyway, we've got a bunch, and our latest is on the mortgage modification fraud, which is exactly what we call it, and it's over there on our website, philhendryshow.com. Next week, we've got some video rants that we're going to be doing. All right, Zagat, the restaurant guide, has come up with something that, frankly, I'm glad they've publicized, although it's not any great shakes in terms of news. 63% of Americans frown on cell phone use during meals. Now, I'm not so sure that I would be a part of that 63%. It depends on the restaurant. Americans have a mouthful of complaints about diners who chew the fat on the phone. According to Zagat's restaurant guide, 63% of Americans turn their noses up at cell phone users who make calls or hammer out texts during a meal. While most New Yorkers said the food faux pas left a bad taste in their mouth, some admitted to pulling out their PDAs in certain company. One guy, Michael Watts, in Washington Heights, said, I do it on occasion, depending on whom I'm with. I have a few friends that are so addicted to their phones that I have to reprimand them in a friendly way, said one tourist. Texting's okay. Talking on the phone is not, said another. New Yorkers understood the urge to share snapshots of a mouth-watering meal. Crap like that. Tourists, you know. So I don't have a problem with that. If somebody is in California Pizza Kitchen, what are you going to do? I mean, you got people that are with their families, their kids, their teenagers, and everybody's together, and they're, you know, In-N-Out Burger, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, man, In-N-Out Burger, you're going to text.
Yeah, but if you're at In-N-Out Burger, that's a whole other thing because the burger is so good. You're never not going to. You got to text with a burger like that sitting in front of you? I'd rather eat it and everything.
Well, it depends. Yeah, bud. The burger ain't going to go away, you know.
Yeah, but I'm going to eat it and then have the grease on it on the phone.
Well, all of those things are fine. You know, I don't even know if those are issues, man.
What are you talking about, man?
Are you going to text on a burger?
Text on a burger?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It means if you're having a burger.
If I'm having a burger, am I going to use my phone?
Yeah.
Probably not, no. I might wipe my hands off first.
Oh, well.
Yeah, you didn't think of that, did you?
You didn't think about wiping your hands off?
Well.
Here's the point, man. It depends on the restaurant. I ain't got a problem with somebody texting or yakking on the phone if I'm in the In-N-Out Burger or if I'm California Pizza Kitchen or if I'm at the damn pizza joint or wherever it is I am. Where it's kind of a, you know, one of those joints that's a family friendly and everybody's running around and the kids are running and they're going and they're getting, you got to expect it and that's where it's at. Now, if I'm sitting in some really nice place, you know, if I'm sitting with my wife or my girlfriend for a romantic evening and we've got a nice, beautiful meal we're sitting down to and Charlie's over here just bap, 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 bap on the phone, that'll piss me off.
Yeah, I was going to say that you don't want that either, man. You're paying a good price for that.
Why is that any worse?
Because there's a certain mood, man. I think it's all about mood. So I don't think it's very. I don't think it's a good survey to say. And I'm not criticizing Zagat. You know, these guys, restaurants and restaurant review and restaurant business is the business of these guys. They've been doing these surveys and they've had their restaurant guide for God knows how long. They found that the number one complaint for diners was service, with 24% of Americans saying men are treated better than women at restaurants. Really?
I don't know how that's true, man, especially a lady. Don't you think a lady get a good service if it was a man?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, the guys are going to treat a lady better, a lady going to treat a guy better.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. I don't know if it's subconscious. I would like to think that food servers, if they're professionals, you know, but sometimes it's perception, man. And if you say, oh, the service in there sucks, well, I don't know what that means. That doesn't necessarily give me a clue because the people that might have been sitting down saying that might have been real jackasses, you know. Now, I did get a, I went into a restaurant one night, and they said the place, I read a review online, and it said, fantastic food, the service is not that good. And, oh, I know what it was. It was the Chicago Rib Company. You know that place?
Yeah, I know about joints up on Main Street, about three door down from 3rd and Main.
Yeah. And I went in there, and we had dinner. The service was great. It was great. And it was funny, because when we sat down, I sat down at a table that was far away from everybody, because I didn't want to listen to a whole bunch of people yapping, because the restaurant didn't have, like, any carpeting, so it didn't absorb noise, so it's all just... So we went in the back, and I thought, oh, this is great, man. Nobody's going to see us. And they came right away, you know.
Who?
The waiter.
Yeah, but you said the service is bad.
No, I didn't say that. It said it in a review. Are you listening to what I'm saying, man?
You got
to
listen, man.
I did.
It said it in a review online that the service sucked, and it wasn't bad. It was good. It was very good, and the food was very good. So I can't really trust some of these jackasses. Plus, you ever read those online reviews? How do you know the guy that's writing that review wasn't, like, fired?
Yeah, I was going to say, man, a lot of the people who write those reviews, like they know the owner and they hate him. They got a business problem.
Well, why would they lie about it?
They lie about it, bud, because they don't like people personally. They have a personal axe to grind. You know what I'm saying? It's really, I don't read any of those reviews, man. Not any, I don't really take them seriously.
Well, how come you read that other one?
Because I was stupid that night. All right, coming up, I don't know, man. A guy gets busted for waterboarding his girlfriend. Did you watch last night's Modern Family or the World Series? Let's find out. PhilHenryShow.com.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
PhilHendryShow.com is the website, and welcome back to our show here in television. The ratings, World Series down from last year. The first game of the World Series was down from last year's Yankee-Philly matchup, and just to show you how interested I am, I don't know who's in the World Series.
It's the San Francisco Giants in Dallas.
Dallas?
No, I mean Texas.
Texas. Forgive me, folks. Baseball fan, I ain't. Not if the blue ain't in it, man. I don't care.
Who's the blue?
Dodgers. And I know that sounds lame, and it's what do you want me to do, lie? I don't watch it. I don't watch it. I don't watch it. I don't watch it, man. Not baseball, man. Not since the strike. Not since that 94 strike. Not since they blew that whole... And I know it sounds stupid, but that's just how I am. You know, when they butchered up the World Series in 94, it wasn't the World Series in 94. I'm done. Ain't that interesting a game to me anyway? I played it in high school. I played it as a kid. I'm actually a pretty damn good baseball player. I played catcher. I had a hell of an arm. I don't care.
Yeah, but I mean, it's America's pastime and everything.
To the extent that I should know a lot about it for my audience, you're right. But my audience is going to sit there and say, this guy isn't really a baseball fan. Why is he even pretending? Nonetheless, go whatever.
Giants.
I ain't rooting for the Giants. Yeah, hi, everybody in San Francisco. Yes, I hope the Giants win. And you guys in Dallas, the Rangers, they're all right.
Man, you almost gave that away, man.
I love the Giants. First game of the World Series gave Fox a ratings win Wednesday night, although its numbers were predictably down compared to last year's Yankees-Phillies matchup. ABC's comedy block, meanwhile, grew considerably over the last week, if you don't mind the term comedy block. Actually, Modern Family is very funny. Modern Family and The Middle, both scoring their biggest audiences ever. Fox drew 13.4 million viewers and an 8.1 rating 13 share in prime time. Those figures will change some because of its live World Series broadcast. Fox had 13 million, CBS with 11 million. This is just the TV ratings on Wednesday night. ABC, 7 million. NBC, 4. Boy, NBC sucks on wheels, don't they?
Well, man, they ain't got nothing.
5 million viewers, NBC. They took fourth as both Law and Order aired repeats. The CW scored 2.5 million viewers and a 1.6. So anyway, Fox led with adults, 18-49. That is a great rating to have because that's the up-and-coming audience of the future. And they won by a good margin over CBS with a 3-0. This is an 18-49-year-old adults. ABC finished third at 2-7. NBC a 1-3. A 1-3? Narrowly beating out, what's CW?
Country Western or something.
Country Western? What the hell is CW, man? It's got to stand for something decent. Oh, that's the old WB. Huh?
Yeah, it used to be Warner Brother. Now it's C. Warner.
C. Warner. Well, figure it out, will you? So at 8 p.m., Fox's World Series game won that hour, 15 million viewers. CBS second with Survivor Nicaragua. At 9 p.m., it was Criminal Minds winning, and the World Series game suddenly dropped to 13.6 million viewers. So it bored people to tears. And finally, at 10 o'clock, Fox came right back up again with the World Series 11.4 million viewers, and CBS had The Defenders. Is that the same show that used to be on in the 1960s with E.G. Marshall and the guy that eventually played the dad in the Brady Bunch?
I don't know.
Thank you. So there you have it. Those are the numbers, and that's the way it shakes out. And Godspeed, my brothers. Godspeed. Man busted for waterboarding his girlfriend. So if you didn't like what was on TV, and you were upset with what was on TV, and maybe your team wasn't winning on TV, what do? Waterboard your girlfriend. After accusing his girlfriend of cheating on him. Oh, that was it.
Yeah, I thought it was something serious.
Right. A Nebraska man allegedly tied the woman to a couch in their apartment. I shouldn't be making a joke about this, you know.
Yeah, but it's waterboarding. She ain't going to die or nothing.
Well, I don't.
Wait, you said he can't die from the waterboard.
I don't know if that's true or not, man. I don't know anybody that has died from it. Everybody I know has been waterboarded. Good God Almighty, you talk about being waterboarded. The only other thing that people have done less is being tased, or maybe more. How dangerous could it be? Every journalist, every talk show host, everybody in America has been waterboarded except me. When I asked who did I ask?
You asked Captain Dye.
That's right. I asked Captain Dale Dye, will you waterboard me? He said, you fat ass, I ain't going to waterboard you. They'll put me in jail for manslaughter. I said, thank you. Trevor Case, age 22, has been charged with domestic assault, false imprisonment, and making terrorist threats in connection with a bizarre incident on Saturday morning at the Lincoln home he shares with his 22-year-old, with the 22-year-old victim. Police allege that Case stuffed hospital socks into Danielle Stallworth's mouth, bound her wrists with belts and hair ties before placing a shirt over her head and dousing it with water, according to a Lincoln Police Department report. He poured a pitcher of water on her head. She started freaking out and thought she wasn't able to breathe, cops noted. The waterboarding practice, of course, leaves victims with the sensation that they are drowning. As she was trying to get up, she clawed Case on his chest, cops reported. When the couple's young daughter awoke and came into the living room, the situation calmed down. When questioned by police, Case admitted arguing with Stallworth but denied tying her up. He claimed that a scratch in his chest occurred while wrestling with a friend. In other words, he was lying through his teeth. What a scumbag. An officer noted observing injuries on Stallworth's wrist, arm, and thigh, all of which were photographed. Case is being held on $150,000 bond at the Lancaster County Jail. The police report reveals that Case was convicted last November of domestic assault against Stallworth, with whom he's been involved in a relationship for 5 years. 5 years! There's one reason why they're with these guys for 5 years. They can't get away from these scumbags. These guys will chase them. They follow them. They follow them everywhere. The only thing that's going to call off the dogs is you finally take a baseball bat to the guy one fine night and make it not worth his while to follow the woman anymore. The other reason is because these chicks can't do without him. They for whatever reason, they keep going back. He needs me. He's, I make him better. I can calm him down. One of the biggest fantasies that women have got is that they can change men from being animals into sweethearts.
That was said on Unforgiven. And remember that guy, William Money? He said, like, his wife and everything changed him down from being a killer?
Yeah, that was a movie.
Yeah, but that was a great story.
I don't care if it was a great story. Talking about Unforgiven.
Yeah, and he said his wife calmed him down from being a no-good, no-count piece of crap, eat the whole out of a donut.
I understand. I know what she supposedly did. That's a movie. And that's the fair fantasy of all American men and women. Oh, well, when he met her, hell, gee, she just did this, that, and something else. No man changes unless he himself decides that he wants to change. No woman changes a man.
What are you talking about, man? What if a guy is so in love, he don't want to lose a good thing? He don't want to lose how do they say it? He don't want to lose that good thing he got.
What do you mean, how do they say it?
I'm talking about like in a song.
Well, what are you guys talking about, man? The fantasy is almost like that. You remember that magic Negro thing, Robert? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg. And what do you mean, Whoopi Goldberg?
Well, she's in Sister Act.
Yeah, I guess that is a magic Negro movie. Anyway, I don't want to. The point is, it's one of these fantasies. It's one of these hallucinations. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. He may say, boy, this is a wonderful woman. I love her, and I don't want to lose her. That's a guy making, adding 2 + 2 = 4. I better change my ways. But no guy who's an animal hooking up with a good girl, a nice woman, a chick that, is doing good in her life and is, loves him. If he's a slob and a scumbag, that's what he is. And she's going to wind up getting killed or getting waterboarded. Or, in the case of this young lady, she got waterboarded, and now he's in for 150 G's on bond, and she'll probably find the money and bail his ass out. Wall Street reform architect Barney Frank fights for survival against an Iraq vet by the name of Sean Bilat. This is in Boston. And are we all done with the waterboarding thing?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't agree. I think that movie is great.
That's fine. You enjoy yourself with Unforgiven. I think it's a great movie, too, but it's another one of those fairy tales. That's all I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, you piss off Clint Eastwood.
Well, what is he going to do, man? Put on his dirty, hairy gun and come and get me? I'll piss off Clint Eastwood. Representative Barney Frank, the outspoken, witty Democrat closely tied to the 2008 U.S. bank bailout. How do you like that for some wit, Barney?
That ain't too funny.
That ain't too funny at all, man. The witty, outspoken, closely tied to the U.S. bank bailout. He ain't laughing at that. Faces a tough re-election battle after 15 terms in office at a time when incumbency itself is a liability. Liability. Challenging the Massachusetts liberal is Republican Sean Bilat, an Iraqi war veteran, and opinion polls suggest Frank has an uncomfortably narrow lead over a political unknown, given that 12% of likely voters remain undecided on who to elect. Now, what was Rance telling me? He said that Frank's cool.
Yeah, he said Barney Frank, it's scary, but Barney Frank probably going to win.
Yeah.
Here is Republican Sean Bilat. He's hoping the tough economy and high unemployment will help him defeat Barney Frank, the Democrat of Massachusetts.
We need jobs. How can we create more jobs?
If we want to grow jobs in this country, we need leadership in Washington that understands what it takes to do that. We got to stop these job-killing regulations so that businesses can start hiring again. We have leadership who's never worked in the real world, who haven't had to grow companies. I have. We need people in Washington who are going to say no to unnecessary spending and who are going to give us our money back and grow this economy. I'm Sean Bilat, and I approve this message.
Well, you know, it's a very attractive campaign. He's an Iraq war veteran. He's a business owner. He's a young guy. Barney Frank is 70. He's got, you know, there's a lot going for him. But Frank is the known factor. And as they say, and I know people, you know, when they talk about throwing out the incumbents, it's a very dishonest thing. Because when they talk about throwing out the incumbent, they ain't talking about their incumbent. When you hear people say, we got to throw the bums out, they're rarely, if ever, talking about their own bum. Throw the bums out? You want to throw out Ron Paul? Tell me about the bums you want to throw out, man. It's generally your bum, not theirs.
Yeah, it's like the guy that they don't like is another guy.
Exactly. So they're never going to be throwing no bums out, man, because they don't want to throw their own bum out. And then they get pissed off when their own bum gets thrown out because some people took it serious. Okay, I'm throwing the bums out. Well, not my bum. I mean, isn't that what you said? Well, I said that, but I don't mean him. Well, who are you talking about? The guy in the next district. I don't vote there. Well, then we can't throw the bum out. Oh, okay. Let's just hope that they throw okay. I'll pray hard. God, that's about how much sense American politics makes. A recent opinion poll showed Frank with 49% of likely voters, Bilat at 37, and 12% undivided. Oh, he ain't going to win. Something's got to happen.
Yeah, Barney Frank got to get, I don't know, he got to die or something.
Well, don't say that, because people are going to, if he does, they're going to trace it back to you, Robert.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah, they will. You're on the radio going, Barney Frank need to die. And if they call me in to testify, I'd have to tell the truth.
Oh, okay. It ain't going to happen. Massachusetts has already been the scene of one of the year's biggest upsets when Republican Scott Brown won a special election for the U.S. Senate, for the Senate seat held almost 5 decades by the Democratic Party pillar, the late Edward Kennedy. If Barney Frank loses, it would be as significant as Scott Brown's win. You'd really begin to see the depths of this anti-government sentiment, said Mark Landy, professor of political science at Boston College. Now, that's a very intelligent statement. I think he's probably right. So just how serious is this country? And just how deep will this sentiment go? American voters are in a surly mood over the weak economy, unemployment near 10%, and the state of the housing market as banks face scrutiny over how they handle the paperwork and home foreclosures across the country. Frank has been chairman of the powerful House Financial Services Committee for almost 4 years. He helped to broker the $700 billion fund to bail out banks at the height of the financial crisis. He promoted legislation to slow foreclosures and keep afloat Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the federally funded companies that own or guarantee more than half of the $11 trillion in U.S. mortgages. Now, you see this guy helping to fund the banks. You see this guy helping to slow the foreclosures and keep Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac afloat. The federally controlled companies that own or guarantee. Those two things I've got no problem with. I'm glad those two things were done. I'm glad that and say what you want, but those two things put a little bit of confidence back into the financial sector.
Yeah, but what were you talking about last night then?
I was told what I was talking about last night with a guy. Here's the one thing nobody ever talks about. Barney Frank, Scott Pilat, bum, bum, boom, boom, boom. Who are the guys running the banks? Anybody ever talk about that?
Yeah, you can't vote on them.
There you go. You can't vote on them. Ain't that the truth? You can't vote on them, man. You think you're going to throw Barney Frank out? Great. Maybe you're going to get a guy in there who won't act when we need them to act. Maybe he's a conservative. Maybe he thinks bank bailouts are this, that, or something else. But you're never, ever, ever going to be able to address the problem. The jackballs that run the financial sector of this country, how many of them even know what they're doing? 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Sounds pretty far out to me. PhilHendryShow.com. Head on over, grab a backstage pass, and get the full Marvy experience of the Phil Hendry Show. Here's a very valuable thing. This is rare. I mean, we read news, and it's interesting, but does it help anybody? Of course it doesn't help anybody. I don't blame you for saying, what the hell am I going to do with that, Henry? So you just told me a story about some guy that waterboarded his girl. So there's another jackass we got to deal with. You're right. You're absolutely right. Just an education on the freaks that live in our midst. Well, here's something you can use. Top 10 best value private colleges in America. Private. Best value. So I'm going to start at the bottom of the list here, number 10, and we'll work our way to number 1. And I haven't even looked at the list past the first few, so I don't know what kind of prices we'll be talking about. And remember, there are such things as scholarships, and then if that doesn't impress you, maybe you can't afford this anyway. Neither can I. Okay, so Vassar College in Poughkeepsie, New York. At one time, this was an all-women's college, Vassar, the first accredited women's college in America, as a matter of fact. It boasts a sticker price for 1 year, two semesters, $53,980. Yes, I know it's expensive, but it ain't nothing compared to some of them. Anyway, it is the most expensive of the top 10 colleges. Financial aid knocks 61% off the cost of the now co-ed college, though. And the average student debt upon graduation is about $19,000. Not bad. Number 9, Hamilton College in Clinton, New York. Hamilton College's sticker price, $53,060. Now, these are top value in private colleges. Hamilton College, financial aid takes care of two-thirds of the Hamilton College sticker price for 1 year, leaving a net annual cost of about $17,500. The average debt for a graduating Hamilton student is $19,500. The college was named after founding father Alexander Hamilton, who served on the board of trustees but never set foot on the campus. Why? He was in debt. Now then.
You kidding?
Well, I'm not kidding about him being in debt, but I'm joking about. I just want to get something. Which gives you the best education for the lowest net cost? Okay, good. Just because it's private doesn't mean it's a good school. So this is talking about El Cheapo private colleges that are still quality educations. Next up, number 8, Amherst College in Amherst, Mass. Their average financial aid package is the largest of the top 10 schools, reducing its price to $52,522 sticker price, 75% to the lowest net cost, just over $13,000 a year. The Amherst grad averages $11,000 of debt. Why so little? Amherst gives all lower and middle income families grants, not loans, so you don't have to pay them back. Number 7 is Claremont McKenna College in our own Claremont, California. Claremont McKenna's sticker price, $53,625, but they offer a 64% financial aid reduction, $19,000 a year after financial aid. It's one of the five Claremont colleges, Harvey Mudd, Pitzer, Scripps and Pomona, located 30 miles east of L.A. Students who enroll in one of the colleges can take classes at any of the others, and all five schools appear in Kiplinger's top 100 best value list. Big deal. Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Mass. Is number 6, and their sticker price at $53,680 is reduced by 63% to $20,000 a year. And most polar bears, yes, that's their mascot, graduate with an $18,000 debt. That's Bowdoin or Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Mass. Number 5 is Davidson College. $48,029 is the annual cost, but with the reduction of price, 26... What? Top 10 in Davidson, Mass. Highest cost, $26,067. They do offer generous merit scholarships. Washington and Lee is number 4 with a sticker price of $52,000. The average debt upon graduation is $23,000. Number 3 is Williams College in Williamstown, Mass. $53,000 a year, but they can reduce it down to $19,000 a year. Number 2, Pomona College in Claremont, California. Why do they call it Pomona in Claremont? Anyway, $52,000 knocked down to $18,000. And then Swarthmore in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania. $52,000 knocked down to $19,000. And our producer is Jason Rance. Our technical director, Charles Wagon. Our associate producer, Dan Northcraft. All three of you'd be happy to educate you if you're the right woman.
Phil Hendry.